William. All right, good morning, church. Bless you in the name of Jesus. Today we continue with the series and the text that I'm going to read from. First is from the book of Psalms, chapter 19. And then later on we go to James and then one verse from Romans. So if you have the Bible with you, please turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 19. And I thank you, Sister Julie, for picking that song, the first song, Let Us Adore. Actually, it actually synchronized with what I'm going to speak on, especially the first part of the message. So the first is Psalms 19, please, verse 1. Are you there? All right, good. First one, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language whence the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set the tabernacle for the sun, which is like the bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. His rising is from one end of heaven, and his circuit to the other end, and is nothing hidden from its heat. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I'll just stop there and I'll move to James chapter 1, verse 8. James chapter 1, verse 8. Sorry, verse 5. Verse 5 says, if any one of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And the last verse is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This is a very famous verse everyone should know. It has been read so many times, spoken so many times. I think it's already in your heart. And verse 28 says, and we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All right, that ends the reading. Let us pray. Father, once again, we thank You for the different portion of the Scripture and to help us, Lord, to understand what You are saying to us and more importantly, to apply it in our life. And so I pray, Father, Lord, You anoint the servant to speak Your word with clarity, to simplicity, that every word will pierce and will sanctify and will cleanse the hearts of Your people. And so I pray, Father, the people, Father, will have a sense of longing, Lord, to hear from You, especially, Lord, having learned, Lord, the different ways that You speak to us. And so this morning, and I pray You anoint, Lord, the hearer, Lord, to hear with a receptive heart. And their heart will be pliable, they will be soft, open before You, that every word that is deposited in their heart, Lord, will bring forth good fruit and reap forth, Lord, some 30, 60, and 100-fold in their life. And I pray, Father, Lord, that You will, Lord, change, Lord, our spiritual appetite, that we will hunger and thirst for You, we will hunger and thirst for Your word, and that we will grow into the full stature of Christ. And so this morning, we welcome the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, Lord, I speak in vain. And I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit will so anoint Your people that they will, Father, become enthusiastic, become passionate for You and Your word. And in the name of Jesus, I pray. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now, as you know, for those who have been here for a couple of months or a couple of weeks, in my last four sermons, I've covered so far the 8 ways that God speaks to us. Now, if you can recall, and for those who are new, the first way that God speaks to us is, of course, through the Bible. And there are 2 aspects of it, Logos and the Rhema word. And this is the most prominent way. And second, God speaks to us through sermon. Third is through counsel from godly and matured Christian. And then the fourth way is His audible voice. And then the fifth way is His angel, through His angels. And then sixth way is through dreams and vision. And seventh way is through believers operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit. and the eight ways is through signs and wonders. For those who have missed this sermon, you can go to the website, Zion Fellowship website, and you can listen to those sermons. And today I'm going to cover another three seemingly non-spiritual way that we can hear from God. And therefore the title of my sermon today is Hearing God Through Seemingly Non-Spiritual Way. So now come to the ninth way. The ninth way to hear from God is through nature and the surrounding. The scripture that we just read from Psalms 19. Now the most powerful scripture that reveals God's voice through creation is actually Psalm 19. Now the renowned author C.S. Lewis described this as the greatest poem that is written in the Bible, written by King David, a man deeply familiar with the vast beauty of nature. Now as a shepherd in the open pasture, David actually witnessed God's celestial artistry daily. And he stood in awe of the sky, the brilliance of the sunshine, the splendor of sunset, and the vastness of the starry sky filled with many sparkling, billions of sparkling stars. And inspired by this breathtaking spectacle, he composed a song of praise to the Creator of the universe. And Psalm 19 verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork." And so David lifted up his eyes to the heavens, the expanse of the blue sky by day and the granule of the night sky, and he saw God's glory revealed to mankind. And so the majesty of the day sky, the radiant sun, the drifting clouds proclaim his power. And sunrises and sunset paint the sky with breathtaking hues of color, showcasing his creativity. And also the wonder of the night sky, the moon's gentle glow, the countless star, and the galaxy stretching beyond our imagination declare his infinite greatness. And so their vastness speak to the immeasurable power and the presence of God. The unmistakable message of creation, the heavens are a testimony to God's glory, seen and understood by all and requiring no words. And so God's glory is evident in his creation. In his immensity, he has formed a universe beyond our comprehension. And in his wisdom, he has intricately designed everything with cosmic precision. And in his artistry, he has painted the skies with splendor. In his goodness, he has made this beauty available to all people in all places and at all times. And so every sunrise, every starlit night, every creation testify to his presence and majesty. And long before the scripture was written, God has already revealed himself through the canvas of creation. And verse 2 says, "Day after day they continue to speak, night after night they make him known." And so God speaking through nature is both continuously and persistent. No pause in this revelation. The sun rising each morning speaks of God's faithfulness. And then from ancient civilization to the modern society, the celestial sermon has never ceased. And the stars appearing each night testify to his constancy. And the changing seasons declare his creativity and wisdom. And verse 3 goes on to say, "There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." What makes this revelation even more remarkable is that they use no words. No sound is heard from them. And yet, verse 4 says, "The voice goes out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." And this is the paradox of God's revelation in nature. And it speaks without speaking. It communicates without words and reaches every corner of the world without traveling. It doesn't shout over the noise of our busy life, but it waits patiently for those moments when we pause, look up, and allow ourselves to wonder. And so the question for us is not whether God is speaking through nature, but whether We are listening. Have we become so accustomed to the wonders around us that we no longer hear their testimony? Have the artificial and man-made environment we have created insulated us from the natural world that bears witness to its creator? Have our busy schedule and digital distraction drowned out the quiet voice of God speaking through the sunrise and the sunset and the starlit sky? Psalm 19 calls us to recover the lost art of seeing and hearing God in the ordinary miracles that surround us daily. And so the next question is, what does God say to us through nature? Number one, God reveals His existence and creative power. When we look at the world around us, we are confronted with the evidence of a creator. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear in Romans chapter 1 verse 20. It says, New Living Translation, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. And through everything that God made, they can clearly see His invisible quality, His eternal power, and His divine nature. And so they have no excuse for not knowing God." So man has no excuse whatsoever to say that he didn't know God exists, because creation points to the Creator, the existence of God. The observable universe that we see is about 93 billion light years in diameter. And mind you, one light year is roughly about 9 trillion kilometers. And so the size of the universe is at least 837 billion of trillions kilometers. However, this observable part of the universe is just a fraction of the size of the entire universe. And so the size of the universe is beyond our comprehension, a figure that is beyond our imagination, something that blows our mind. The sheer size of the universe just shows the creative power of God, because He created the universe. Number two, God reveals His wisdom and intelligence. Creation doesn't just tell us that God exists. It reveals His wisdom and intelligence. Psalm 104, verse 24 says, "O Lord, how manifold are Your works! In wisdom You have made them all. The earth is full of Your creature. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures innumerable, living things, both small and great." The more we learn about the natural world through science, the more we discover the multi-layers of complexity and the design that point to the super-intelligence creator. From the mathematical precision of the planetary orbit to the information encoded in the DNA, nature displays wisdom far beyond random chance. And so the manifestation of a super intelligent design, from the smallest atom to the largest galaxy, shows the existence of an all-intelligent God and His creative power. Nature reveals not just that all-powerful God exists, but the attributes of who He is, His super intelligent wisdom, beauty, and order. And this truth should give us the confidence to trust God's wisdom in our life, even when we don't fully understand His ways. Application here. When life challenges, shake your faith in God. Look up at the night sky. Its vastness will remind you of how mighty your God is. And at times, when I'm discouraged, I'm overwhelmed some of life's big challenges and big problems. And sometimes I need reassurance from God, and I pray. And sometimes when you pray, you just wonder whether God can help you. So when you at night you look at the sky, the vastness of the skies, and then it reassures you that our God is a very, very, very big God, much bigger than the problem that you're facing. And so this is one of the many ways that God can speak to you through nature. Number three, God reveals His faithful character. Nature doesn't just reveal God's power and wisdom. It also speaks of His faithfulness. The natural cycle of sunshine, rainfall, season, all testify to God's faithfulness. In Matthew 5:45, Jesus says, He causes His sun to rise on the evil and also the good, and send rains on the righteous and also the unrighteous. And so this passage emphasizes God's impartial provision and grace, showing that He cares for all humanity regardless of their righteousness. And this consistent provision are not merely natural processes. They are expression and they are reminder of His divine faithfulness. And Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." He said, "It's not life more than food, and the body more than clothing." He said, "Look at the birds in the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them." He said, "Are you not of more value than they?" And so what is the application? So when you're worried about your livelihood, take a walk in the park. Look at the birds. You will hear God speaking to you through nature. "Don't worry," God said, "don't worry, I will provide for you." He said, "Are you not more valuable than birds?" Now, I'm not saying that you stay idle, do nothing, and God will take care of you. What I'm saying is you just do your part of looking for a job, and then you leave the rest to God. He will take care of you and your basic livelihood. If God is speaking clearly through nature, the question is why many people fail to hear His voice. Because there are some barriers to hearing God through nature. What are they? Number one, for some, it is busyness. We rush through life without pausing to observe and then to reflect. For others, it's simply over familiarity. We are so accustomed to the wonders around us that they no longer evoke awe in our life. And so I challenge you to examine your spiritual receptivity. Are you truly listening to God's voice in the world that He has made? Or have you allowed the various barriers to deafen you to His communication? And so having mentioned those barriers, come to application. What is the remedy? Attentiveness to nature and your surrounding, and you have a dialogue with God. You don't need to like go to a special closet to pray. You know, it can be a habit, having a dialogue with God when you walk around in the park or you look around. So you need to slow down enough to truly observe. You need to set aside distraction to focus on what God might be saying through His creation and also your surrounding. So let me give you an example. I dialogue with God about a concern, and God speaks regarding my surrounding during my driving. In my last sermon, last week, I share how God spoke to us through the sign and how He confirmed His will for my family to migrate to Perth through three signs, as I said. And that was many, many years ago, more than 30 years ago. And so after that incident, before migrating to Perth, I asked God another question. What am I to do in Perth? And so while I was driving, I was having a dialogue in my mind. With God in my mind. And then suddenly, I became very attentive to the various things that I encounter in my driving. And I encounter, of course, driving, you encounter many traffic lights, the stop sign, the go sign. And then inevitably, I drive into a right lane, and they say right lane must turn right. And sometimes into a left lane, no, left lane must turn left, even though you didn't intend to do that. So there was also unexpected traffic jam here and there, unexpected roadworks and roadblocks along the way. And then you have to do a slight detour. There is a detour sign. And so as I dialogue with the Lord, he says, just as you encounter the various things along the trip, he says, I will lead you the same way. You will encounter, he says, my ordained stop and go sign. Right lane must turn right and left lane must turn left. And I will open doors and I'll close doors. And I will at times get you to do a detour, etc. You just have to trust me and take one step at a time. And I will lead you to my ordained destination for you. And so I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your assurance. And of course, you know, after 30 years, God led me to pastor this church. So indeed, he led me step by step. Now, before I leave Psalm 19 to talk about another way of hearing from God, I should mention in passing that Psalm 19, if you study carefully, is actually written in two segments. In segment 1, verse 1 to verse 6, God is revealing himself through nature. Now, theologians call this the general revelation of God. And then it transits to segment 2, verse 7 to verse 14. We just read 2 verses 7 and 8 to give you a few of what it's talking about. Where God reveals himself through his law, meaning God's word. And theologians call this the special revelation of God. And so, segment 1, nature actually reveals God's existent power and wisdom and some aspect of his character. And segment 2, actually, the scripture reveals who this God is. This is none other than the God of the Bible. And it also reveals God's salvation plan through a Redeemer. Now, for your information, that was how I actually get to come to know the Lord Jesus. Now, in my younger days, I studied science. Look at the intricacy and the design and the precise orbitary movements of all the celestial bodies, the planets, so on and so forth. I was amazed. And I come to the conclusion that there must be a God. So, number one. And then the next question is, who is the true and the living God? And he led me to the scripture, the God of the Bible, where he proclaimed that I am the creator of all the heavens and the earth. And so, interestingly, so this psalm, in a way, speaks of my salvation journey. Very interesting psalm. I can identify with it. And then we come to the 10th way to hear God, and that is through common sense. Now, it amazes me how many people think that wisdom and common sense must vanish in order for them to be spiritual. They think that spiritual people must float around, see angels, see visions, or hear God's audible voice, etc. Now, some overly spiritual Christians ignore common sense wisdom. And as a result, they make foolish decisions, suffer serious consequences in their life, relating to career, finance, marriage, relationship, ministry, etc. Now, what do I mean by common sense wisdom, you may ask? Best that I tell you a story to illustrate what common sense wisdom is about. And this is a story of a very religious man caught in a flood. And as he was caught in the flood, the water rose. And he climbed onto the roof. And then he prayed to God to save him. And so a neighbor came along with a canoe and offered help. But the man said, "No thanks, I'm waiting for God to save me." And then 30 minutes later, a community rescue boat came. And then again he said, "No, thank you. I'm waiting for my God to save me." And then finally, there was a helicopter flying above the roof and lowered a rope. But the man said, "No, no, no. Thank you. I'm waiting for my God to save me." And eventually, the flood water overtook him. And he was drowned and he died. And then when he reached heaven, he asked God, "Why didn't you save me?" And God replied, "I sent a canoe, a boat, and a helicopter. What else did you want?" This is an illustration of common sense wisdom. So some Christian can be like this man, waiting for a dramatic intervention from God, while overlooking the common sense wisdom that God has already provided. Now, while God certainly can, and sometimes, right, does speak in a dramatic way, more often, He guides us through something far more accessible, sanctified common sense wisdom. And there are some people who are overly spiritual and ignore what God is speaking, plainly through common sense practical help. So common sense wisdom is defined as, it's about making sound decisions using practical knowledge and experience. And a number of practical common sense wisdom are in alignment with godly wisdom. I understand that some common sense wisdom, they are not in alignment with godly wisdom, but a number of them are in alignment with godly wisdom. Now, for example, even Moses heeded the wise counsel from Jethro, his father-in-law. There came a time when Moses overworked to the point of having burned out, and yet God did not counsel Moses directly what to do, despite him having a very close relationship with God. Mind you, Moses had a face-to-face relationship with God. You're talking about Moses here, all right? So, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, gave Moses this common sense wisdom. He said, "Appoint among you those who are capable, honest, God-fearing men, and say, as leaders over a group of 100, groups of 50, group of 10, so on and so forth. And they are to help you to manage and to solve the issues and problems raised by these people. And they will help you," he said, "to carry the load, making the task easier for you. You cannot do everything by yourself. You need to delegate. You need to appoint leaders." He said, "If you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressure." And so Moses had this humility to accept this common sense wisdom from God, from Jethro, rather. And so, as I said, even though he had a close relationship with God, he did not receive a very dramatic, you know, kind of advice from God appearing to him, "Moses, this is how you're going to solve your problem." But through ordinary person like Jethro, his father-in-law. And so having said that, so how do we cultivate a common sense wisdom, but yet it is godly, meaning in alignment with God, wisdom, that is not in contradiction, to God's wisdom? So number one, ask God for wisdom, because wisdom is a gift from God. James 1:5, the scripture that we just read. "If anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally, and it will be given to him." Number two, read the Bible regularly and meditatively. Many of us read the Bible regularly, but not many read it meditatively. You need to slow down. You need to assimilate the word. You need to ask God certain questions. You know, this is how. You need to chew on the word. You know, ponder. And even during the day, ask yourself some question about the verse that you have read. This is how you read it meditatively. And this is how it will be assimilated into your being. And so specifically read the word of the book of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's a great source of wisdom. So many common sense wisdom are encapsulated in this book. Incidentally, the book of Proverbs has actually got 31 chapters, over 800 plus Proverbs, and about 180 topics of wisdom. And then you can read it day by day, meaning day one, read chapter one. Day two, you read chapter two, so on and so forth. And it has 31 chapters to cover even the long month of 31 days. A regular and thoughtful engagement with God's word will transform our thinking and ensure that our common sense wisdom is in alignment with godly wisdom. So it can be a season. For example, there was a season when I exercised that. Then other months, I move on to other things. And then after many months or year or two, you can come back. So it depends on you. As I said, this is a practical way to grow in wisdom. And then number three, practice humility. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. So pride actually blinds us to our own limitation and closes us off to learning from others. Humility creates the space for wisdom to grow within us. And then fourthly, learn from your own and others' experiences. Psalm 119, verse 71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your stature. And so reflect on your successes and also failure. More on failure, I suppose. Ask what God might be teaching you through them. So also learn from the experiences from others or lessons learned from the stories in the Bible. God has given us a brain, not for nothing. He has given us the brain and experiences and the reading to acquire common sense wisdom. Now, for common sense wisdom, I'm not saying you do not seek God in prayer. You need to pray and then wait. But when the time comes for decision making and you still have no word from the Lord, then you can't wait any longer. Then, obviously, you apply godly wisdom. So don't rule it out. And then, let me now give you some application of common sense wisdom. Now, there are many routine and standard methods that God has already spoken and He's entrusting us to use this wisdom. All right, for example, speech. One thing that the Bible says, quick to listen, slow to speak. James 1:19. In other words, speak less, listen more. And number two, money management. Don't spend beyond your means. And so when it comes to spending a sizable amount of money, just ask two simple questions. Can I afford it? Do I need it? If the answer is no to both questions, don't spend tomorrow's money unnecessary for today. Because if you get your debt out of control, you will become slave to the lender. And nowadays, there are so many kind of credit that's available. You can like buy now, pay later. You know, spend some amount and spread it over 4 months or 6 months, those things. So ask those questions. Do you need it? If you don't need it, don't buy it. If the money is sizable, don't even consider. So simple financial management. And then third area is health management. The principle is prevention is better than cure. So get enough sleep, take nutritious food with a good spread of minerals and vitamins. But don't go to the extreme of becoming a health fanatic, because everything is in moderation. Not too much junk food. Exercise regularly. Now, some people will say, well, you know, the guy eat this, you know, I eat this. Why is it that I get it, he doesn't get it? So on and so forth. Now, you cannot compare yourself with others. You have to compare yourself with yourself. Because you must compare apple with apple, orange with orange. You cannot compare the apple with the orange. Because for you, you do those good things, there is a higher probability that you will be healthy and strong. You cannot compare with another because he has a totally different diet system than yours. And it's so complex because you must compare yourself with yourself. So, those are the simple principle. Prevention is better than cure. Rather than wait until you hit with a sickness and then you do all kinds of things, try to prevent it. So prevent it in advance. So, number four, treatment of others. The principle is treat others how you want to be treated. Matthew 7, verse 12. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of what is taught in the law and the prophet. This principle is simple but powerful. You want others to treat you with kindness and respect? Simple. Then you treat them with kindness and respect. Now, there are some of the common sense wisdom that God has spoken to you to adopt. And so common sense wisdom is like a pre-spoken word from God. You know, you don't need to hear it for that moment. You need to hear and obey it because they are pre-spoken word. It must be a practice and a habit, not a one-off obedience. You know, you do it for 1-2 days and then you don't do it for the rest of the year. So, obey it as a practice and a habit. And then I come to the 11th way that God speaks and guides us. This is through circumstances. Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. There is a qualifier here. For those who work, love God, and you're called according to His purpose. And so if you adopt or if you trust God and adopt the right attitude, God can guide and speak to us through circumstances in these three areas. Open and closed door. Trial and challenges. Number two. And the third is divine appointment and unexpected encounter. And so number one, God speaks through open and closed door. Revelation 3:8 says, see, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. And then Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the God determines our steps. And sometimes unexpected door opens or opportunity arises. A new job offer, a new direction, etc. Other times, a door slams shut, preventing us from going forward. Both are ways that God can speak to us and guide us. So for example, Acts chapter 16, verse 6, Paul actually tried to go to Asia on a mission or for a mission. But God closed that door and redirected him to Macedonia. If God closes one door, it is because He has a better one ahead. And so, number two, God, before I go into number two, and so make sure when that God closes a door, don't try to pry open the door. Because, you know, you will get into some mess in your life. And then number two, God guides through challenges and trial. Classic example is, of course, Joseph's life. He was sold into slavery and imprisoned unfairly. And those are the difficult circumstances that he went through. Not only once, twice, but three times and many years, over many years. And yet God used that trial and circumstances to put him in a position of power to save his family and entire nation. And in the end, he knew it was God speaking and God guiding him through those circumstances. And then in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, he said, you intended to harm me. He was speaking to his sibling. But he said, but God intended it for good. Turn it around. And so hard times are not just obstacles. They are God's way of refining and guiding us. And then number three, God ordains divine appointment and then unexpected encounter. And so trust in the Lord, it says, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto their own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. And then Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of good men are ordered by the Lord. Now, some things may at first turn like a random meeting or encounter, but later it can turn out to be a divine appointment and God's leading. So, for example, in the Bible, the Philippians and the Philip, and the Ethiopian church, Acts chapter 8. And Philip was led by the Spirit to meet one man on the desert road. And that one encounter led the gospel to reach Ethiopia. Ethiopia. All right. God is often speaking even through our daily experiences and challenges and unexpected moment. And so our job is actually to trust Him, have a pliable heart to seek His will and be sensitive to His leading. Circumstances that God ordained are like spiritual bumpers. And each bump, you know, leads you closer and closer to God's designated will and destination. And so when the door is open, walk through it. When the door closes, trust that God has something better. So when trial comes, know that He is shaping you. But when the unexpected happens, God has something beyond that you can't see now. So will you trust God's voice in leading you through the circumstance, your circumstances? And so conclusion. And today, we learn that God can also speak to us and direct us, one, through nature and physical things of our surrounding, and two, through common sense wisdom, and then three, through circumstances. And so God not only speaks through spiritual means and ways, He also speaks through seemingly non-spiritual channel, but it is still from God. After knowing this, three new areas of hearing from God, let us remember to take time in observing and reflecting on God's revelation in nature and in His surrounding. Whether in the wilderness or the urban park or our surrounding, whether gazing at the stars or examining flowers, be intentional and take time to listen to God's voice in His creation. Number two, God has given us a brain and life experiences to gain common sense wisdom. Being spiritual does not mean we abandon common sense wisdom altogether. You are expected to apply them to many occasions. Number three, grow in holy acceptance. Trust God in every trial and circumstances, because He is faithful. The important thing is to have a godly attributes, or rather to have a godly attitude, despite facing adverse circumstances. Have a pliable heart of always wanting to hear from God for His divine guidance in your life. So I trust that today's sermon has further enlightened and blessed you, and that hopefully it will cause you to be more sensitive to God's voice and leading through the many ways that He speaks to us. The Lord bless you. Amen. Amen. Let us rise and sing this enclosing song to the Lord.